Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Sean Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Titus from the Kilwins Franchise Opportunity. Kilwins has been a celebrated part of North Michigan since 1947 and has earned a reputation for quality products and excellent service. And that's coming up on segment 2 of Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing fine, Marty. How are you this week?
Good. Week has certainly gone by fast, you know, since the last show, Don. And getting hit with some thunderstorms today, so you might hear it in the studio a bit. But otherwise, yeah, doing great. Everything's going well.
Good.
It's just getting hot here in Pennsylvania as well. Our last show, Don, we met with Guy Falzarano, president and CEO of Rainbow Academy. Entrepreneur Magazine listed childcare as one of the top 10 franchising trends for 2011. That was a great show. You know, I didn't realize, I've passed their facility traveling through Jersey on one or two occasions, you know, and the name stuck with me. And I said, why do I know these guys? You know, so I've actually seen them before. I've seen their location.
Right.
But it was a great show. Any thoughts on last week?
Well, it just seems, Marty, just about all these different franchises, when it has to do with children, it seems like they're
right.
All successful. You know?
That's true. Isn't it?
I don't know if I've heard of any, you know, whether it's
this
type of franchise or there's these different type of educational
mm-hmm.
franchises, school franchises where kids exercise and where places we can have parties at, and it seems like they all grow and do well.
Yeah, it's a powerful statement that you just said, Don, because, you know, it's made me think of when we had Dr. Scott Shane on the show. He said the same thing. You know, a lot of times it's really the industry that you're going into. You know what I mean? Of course, yes, the franchise has a lot to do with it as well, and the system and things like that. But, you know, it's really a lot of times when you're just going into a particular industry like this one. I mean, listen to these numbers. Between 2006 and 2010, the percentage of parents reporting child care as a necessity rose from 49% to 57%. And I think that number blew both of us away because this is something that these guys were able to see as an opportunity, you know. And
right.
It was interesting when Guy was talking about, I guess when they set up their first business, Don, I think they broke even. Was it in their first 3 months, I wrote down? Their first time they broke even in the first 3 months. That's amazing, isn't it? If you
Definitely.
Think about it. And I think the second one was the same thing. So he realized he had an interesting business model, and it seemed like franchising was appropriate for growing this type of business as well.
Yeah, he seems like he's had had a whole, business plan. It seems like he's have everything well planned out of where he wants to take the business. He's like he's very careful along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Got into franchising. I'm sure he's got a 1, 5, and 10-year growth plan.
Yeah, absolutely. That technology was amazing, wasn't it, Don? Was it called the Parent View? You know, where you kind of like go on the internet, you log on, you have a password, and you get to watch the classroom, you know? And it was interesting. An interesting result of that, you know, that I don't think they planned for was that now they got the grandparents. Sometimes, like I think he used an example, like in India, you know, the grandparents can log in and they can see their grandson or their granddaughter playing.
It just makes the relatives and parents feel, feel safe, have peace of mind, because you never really know about anything in life, and I think that's a good selling tool.
Well, my son's in preschool right now, you know, and you know a lot of times I'm wondering what's going on in this class. I would love to have something like that where I could just kind of log on and my wife would probably be a fanatic though. You know, she'd be on it all day just like watching it and that little boy and my son, you know, driving over there every 5 minutes, you know. So
yeah.
I don't know if that would be a good thing. But, you know, the main thing is that you want to make the parents, as you were saying, you know, feel safe, you know. I mean, this is an emotional thing. You know, I compare this industry, Don, to, you know, the senior care industry, and I think you kind of agreed. It's an emotional thing, you know, when you're having someone take care of a loved one, whether it's your child or your parent, pretty emotional, you know. And I think that that's why these two industries are doing so well, for amongst other reasons. But, you know, you could say it's recession-resistant in the sense that, you know, you're not going to shortchange, or you're going to try to not shortchange your child or your loved one. You're going to provide them the best care possible. So, yeah. So I think we should keep our eye on Rainbow Academy and watch as they continue to grow, because I expect good things from them.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
So what do we got going on today, Don? I think we might get a little hungry after today's show, huh? Especially if you like chocolate.
Or at least we'll probably really be in the mood for dessert after lunch and dinner.
We'll be snacking.
Steve Titus, Kilwin's chocolates and ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with the franchise, and Steve's a good guy, so we're looking forward to hearing the Kilwin story and how they're growing and how the franchisees make money. And again, it's one of these, it's a feel-good franchise, at least for your customers. Mm-hmm. They come in, who's not going to be happy walking around that store?
Well, that's the whole thing, you know, is you know, especially during these times, you know, to put a smile on someone's face, you know, I mean, it gives you pleasure, you know, so, yeah, and they have a long history, too. They're founded, Don, in 1947 by Don and Katie Kilwin, which I'm sure Steve
right.
will talk a little bit about the history and things like that, but, so they've been around a long time, too, you know, so it's great history, and I think that's always an important part of a franchise, you know, to be able to open up your franchise, Don, in, you know, 2011 and say, you know what, you've been around since 1947, because Kilwin has been around for a long time.
Right.
All of a sudden you have that history, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's something you can buy with a franchise, you know, same thing with McDonald's, same thing with Subway, you know, so, yeah. Absolutely. So I know you had some interesting articles we meant to get to last week, and of course we didn't have time to. One of them was on Subway as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, how Subway got to 33,000 restaurants, six lessons for entrepreneurs by Carol Tice. This is an entrepreneur.com. Everybody mm-hmm. knows Subway is a successful franchise chain, but did you know last year it cracked 33,000 units, it should shortly hit 34,000. The fresh sandwich
wow.
chain passed McDonald's to take the top fast food franchise crown. The Golden Arches have just 32,000 restaurants. This may seem like a big business story at first, but Subway and McDonald's have made their brand one locally owned franchisee at a time. The chains are essentially huge conglomerates of mom-and-pop restaurants. The tale of how Subway overtook the longstanding leader in their sector has many lessons for small business owners everywhere. Here's some of a few factors. One, it says, tell a great story. When Subway found the original Biggest Loser, then student Jared, the company had the sense to jump on the store and keep it growing. Subway could have just had a motto along the lines of, our food is lower fat and healthier than our competitors, but it wouldn't have been nearly as compelling as, hey, look at me, I ate exclusively at Subway and lost tons of weight. Yeah, I read that guy's book, and you've interviewed him in the past, and, you know, I guess that's had a big thing to do with any business when you have the right marketing and ad campaign. They told a great story. I guess that has helped them. You know, one of a few things to really, you know, grow into this, you know, top franchise system.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an amazing story. I mean, I refer to the Subway story, you know, whether it's talking about Jared Fogel or just talking about Fred DeLuca, you know, which might be in there as well. But that was an amazing story, too, how he started the whole thing. It's one of those classic, you know, Ray Kroc, George Native kind of stories as well.
Right. Next thing was in touch with trends. Subway always had lower fat offerings, but marketed just as a sub shop for a while. Then came the era of eat fresh and the emphasis on fresh ingredients. In a world where fast food mostly meant fried everything, this appealed to many diners with a growing interest. You know, the lesson they say here, are you listening to customers and following trends in your sector? Could be time to change your message.
Mm-hmm.
The next is a flexible brand. Subway's brand simply stood for a quick sandwich. And as
right.
taste changed, Subway was able to morph their brand to stand for healthier food. The lesson,
yeah.
if you're starting a new company, think carefully about your name. What does it stand for? Could it easily made to stand for something else if consumer taste shifted?
Mm.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
Your creative locations. Thanks to its health food positioning, Subway gained entrance into locations some of the fried food biggies couldn't get a contract with, such as in hospitals. So the lesson there is think about all the places your brand could be and explore some new options. Next,
wow.
customer engagement. Subway was one of the only adopters of the restaurant layout where you watch your food being made right in front of you. Customers like it.
Right.
Not only reassures diners about what's in their food, but allows endless customers on the fly. And a lesson, strive for ways to get customers more engaged in your process of creating the product they want. Kind of like a few weeks ago when we had Yogurtland on. People like it because they kind of make
right.
their own dessert. That was
That's
interesting.
True. The interactivity is,
right.
is very important. Yeah, that's interesting.
And their last point about six lessons for entrepreneurs is great franchisor-franchisee relations. Around the same time Subway got started, another sub shop chain, Quiznos, started as well. Subway seemed to have treated franchisees fairly well, and relations have been positive. On the other hand, Quiznos franchisees have just had some issues and problems. So Subway soared, while the other franchise had some issues. So the lesson is relations with stakeholders are important. Think about how you can make vendors, marketing partners, and franchise holders feel supported.
Right.
Just good, some good basic entrepreneur tips, basically, when opening or starting a franchise system.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's an amazing story. You know, they were talking in that article, Don, too, about the whole location factor. And Subway was really clever. When they first did it, I was a little skeptical. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Subways, like, in the gas stations.
Right.
In a gas station, but, like, in, like, a Tiger Mart or something like that, you know. And I didn't know how well that would actually go over. You know, saying, you know, I mean, again, it's not the, like, mechanics, you know, making the subs or anything like that, you know. But if you think about the location, you know, people pulling for gas, you could actually get a Subway sub in minutes, you know what I mean? So by the time you're finished pumping the gas, pretty much grab yourself a sub. So I think that was pretty clever on their part.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And definitely helped with their growth. I understand, too, they were working closer with Walmarts. You know, a lot of Walmarts have McDonald's, but I understand, like, the newer ones are putting Subways in instead. You know,
right.
Again, I guess as part of that, you were saying, it is a healthy alternative, isn't it? You know,
but with
I
a site
Subway.
Like you're saying, being creative, like with George Natif from U Food Grill, and
right,
where some of the areas he's going into, like military bases.
That's clever. It really is. Yeah. You know, and again, that's one of the benefits of buying a franchise is, you know, you have this brain power, all these minds, you know, working together to kind of sometimes think outside the box. You know, when you're a business opportunity or you're Joe Subs and you're just kind of working on your own, that's a little tough at times, you know.
Right.
So, again, another great benefit of franchising, networking with all these people. You were mentioning in the article, or at the end of the article, Don, about the working with suppliers and all those important things, you know, having strong relationships with your suppliers. And I think that's so important, or an important reason to get into franchising as well, is immediately you have some of these strong relationships from day one.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, one of the great benefits of franchising. So
just controlling your cost, yeah.
Absolutely.
Something else here, IndyStar.com, Franchising Hot as Owners Look to Be Their Own Boss by Dana Hunsinger Benbow. They deal in sandwiches and recycled batteries. They whip up loaded meat pizzas and fill new neighbors' mailboxes with packets of coupons. They're all franchise companies popping up, changing the retail landscape at a time when franchising is only expected to get hotter. And why wouldn't it? For young business people, laid off professionals, boomers not ready to retire, and career switchers, the franchise business model makes perfect sense. Take a proven company that's done all the homework for you and copy it, yet still feel like a real entrepreneur. We like to say you're going into business for yourself, not by yourself. That's Alyssa Harrison, who we've quoted a lot over the years. She's with the IFA. It's a good place to be right now. We expect franchising will continue to grow at a faster rate than other business segments. It already has. In the past decade, the industry has seen 40% growth. This year, sales are expected to jump up to $740 billion, up 13% from 2007, and the total number of franchise establishments is expected to return to pre-recession levels of around 800,000. And then it goes into a few scenarios. For Susan Manwaring, operating a Batteries Plus store in Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, nearly 20 years ago was a definite gamble. After all, she had the Wisconsin-based company's first-ever franchise store. The company itself was a startup at the time, and there was a lot of risk involved, she says. I took a leap of faith that they were going to do what they said they would do. They haven't let me down. Today, she has 9 stores, including 5 in the Indianapolis area. Batteries Plus has 420 franchise locations. The company has just 30 corporate-owned stores and sees franchising locations as a smart business strategy. From a corporate perspective, you can many times create more locations and brand awareness by deploying to a franchise, says John Twist, VP of Franchise and Business Development. Franchising has helped us grow very steadily, even in the face of a very difficult economic environment. It seemed like an industry that was only going to grow, man-ringing said the franchisee, and it has and it will. Pretty interesting that, part of that.
Yeah, something you said, Don, or the article said, something that Guy Falzarano mentioned last week was franchising was a viable option for these guys, because think about how expensive it would have been to open up 10 new locations or 20 new locations or 40 new locations. You know, put a price tag on that. It's pretty difficult, you know, for anybody, any type of business person, no matter how successful you are. And that takes a long time too, doesn't it? I mean, if you want to, you know, grow 50 in a year on your own, how do you do that? You know, it's just,
right.
It doesn't seem possible. So from the corporate standpoint, and again, getting involved with partnerships, you know, I mean, that's what franchising is. You know, it's a partnership. It's not quite a marriage, but it's close to it, you know. And
you're right about the
absolutely.
Cost, though. The extra cost lost by not doing the correct marketing and advertising, the franchise probably helping with the lease negotiation on their site and location, or just confirming that we do believe that's a strong, you know, solid site for your store location.
Right.
All those type of things, you know, being able to get your inventory at such a low cost where you're making some nice profit margins because of the corporate bulk buying power of what you're selling.
Right.
All those
right.
things
coming
add up. Everything's crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next.
I mean, just we've used this example before, you know, going back to Subway. I mean, you know, Subway advertises a lot, like on the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, the ability to, you know, own a Subway franchise and have your Subway advertising on the Super Bowl, I mean, that's unheard of, you know. Now, again,
right.
You know, everybody's watching the Super Bowl, so someone from California is not going to come over to New Jersey. But, again, it's still branding, you know, your business. So that buying power, it says a lot.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Next part, the up-and-comer. He spent his 20s in the buttoned-up world of commercial real estate, working on the East Coast on big-name accounts such as CVS. Then the entrepreneurial spirit he seemed born with hit him. I knew I wanted to venture out on my own and start my own company, says Courtney Galen, whose family founded Galen's Trading Company, a chain of sporting goods stores that was sold in 2004. I wasn't really in the business of wanting to reinvent the wheel and starting a new company from scratch, so he started searching franchises, found a company that fit him perfectly, Marco's Pizza. We've had them on the show in the past. Today he was one Marco's open in Indianapolis with a second location sent to open this summer. With franchising, he said he has something else too. You have a set of systems you can implement into your own business. He signed a 10-store development deal agreement with the Toledo, Ohio-based company. It's kind of a security blanket because you don't go through all the pitfalls of doing your own startup. After all, starting a company takes skills in operations, marketing, advertising, support, real estate, construction, and more. There's not a reason in the world anybody would be an expert in all that. It's a good point.
Right.
You know, starting a business, who the heck, you know, could, you know, you just basically can't afford to start up a business, especially in this economy. I mean, unless you have a lot of experience in all those different factors, and you have experience starting up a business, being successful. So if you don't have all that experience, it's just going to be much more riskier than starting up a franchise or a business like Kilwin's, for example. You know, that's why franchising has a much lower failure rate.
Well, it's something that the gentleman said who was involved in CVS. He said something very powerful, and how many times have we heard it on our show, particularly when we had the franchisees on the show? As he said, one of the reasons they got into franchising was they didn't want to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
I mean, do you want to reinvent the wheel in this economy anyway? You know, I mean, it's. I mean, do you want to, you know, make mistakes? When we had Guy on the show last week at Rainbow Academy, you know, I mean, he mentioned in the beginning, you know, they made a lot of mistakes, you know,
right.
And they've learned from those mistakes, and some of those mistakes might have been costly in the beginning. I mean, do you really want to do that? You know, do you want to make some big mistakes, you know, whether it's related to advertising or distribution, whatever it may be? But you know, sometimes franchising in many cases can overcome those obstacles, can it, Don? You know,
right.
So yeah, I think that's very powerful.
I'm really happy I'm going over these articles. What I've said about three very powerful things so far.
I'm going to have to put you in great quotes in franchising like 10 times already. So
yeah. We might have to replay the show like 10 times in the next few months.
Exactly. I mean, these are really great articles. Why don't we do this, Don? I see Steve has called in. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. We have a great show, as we were saying earlier, Don. We are meeting with Steve Titus from the Kilwins Franchise Opportunity. And Kilwins has been a celebrated part of North Michigan since 1947, and they've earned a reputation for their quality products and excellent service. Hey, Steve, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I hear you great, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I am in sunny Florida in the Orlando area.
Oh, rub it in.
Yeah.
Great. I thought you were going to say you were in the Michigan area. It's cold and damp, and but I guess not. And Steve, I think you know my co-host, Don Johnson.
I sure do. We've spoken a few times, right.
Yeah, good to have you on, Steve. Thanks for coming on. So
you
had to get that out there quickly in sunny Florida. Well, it's starting to get a little sunnier here. Marty and I are up in the Northeast, PA, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get a little warmer out, so we'll be joining you soon.
Okay, well, it's supposed to hit 92 today, so
wow.
you may not match that. But
yeah.
I don't think so.
Huh. That's great. Steve, what were you doing before coming to Kilwins? I know Kilwins has a long history, but what were you doing before coming to the organization?
Well, I had a long career with Sears, I got to launch and run the small store division that took over after the catalog stores closed, and we were able to grow those from about a zero base up to right around 1,000. So that's kind of my background the last few years with Sears.
Right. Interesting.
And like Marty said, Kilwins. What was that?
I was going to say, prior to that, it was the normal retail career, moving around lots of stores, all that kind of stuff, you know, regions
mm-hmm.
and then went to the home office, and I was fortunate enough to be able to start that. And it was a fun job, and it kind of ties into them asking me to come over and come out of retirement to go into Kilwins.
Wow.
Yeah, which, you know, is right up your alley in retail. So like Marty said, long history, started in 47. Maybe talk to us, Steve, a little bit about the history of Kilwins and when the company started franchising.
Well, there really was a Don and Katie Kilwin, and they started a bakery, but also made candy on the side. And it took them a few years, but they evolved into a candy company, and they sold off the bakery in 1971 to focus just on candy. And in 78, they sold the whole business to Wayne and Lorene Rose, who started expanding stores. They opened two or three other stores outside of just the kitchen store. And then in 79... our present owners, Don and Robin McCarty, entered the business and started working in one of the stores. And then in 82, they started franchising stores. And that's when things really started ramping up. And then Don and Robin ended up being franchisees. And then in 95, they purchased Kilwins from the Roses and really began to kind of ramp up expansion and figure out some real growth. And you know, I noticed you were talking about starting up a franchise and how you do it, and how, you know, mm-hmm. starting up your own business versus joining a franchise. One of the things that we did is they decided to expand into Florida, which we now have. It'll be 38 stores with Key West opening here real soon. In 2000, we established a second distribution center in Florida to really support the growth that we were planning on doing in the Southeast. So that's the type of thing that starting your own business would be very difficult to do, but linking with the
right.
franchise, you can do. And then, you know, as of today, we're still selling that premium handmade chocolate, the confections, and our original recipe ice cream. So it really, the franchising kicked in 82, and we are now up to exactly 82 stores, soon to be 83 and 84. We've got Key West, Florida opening and Wyckoff, New Jersey opening right away.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, you started talking a little bit about the strength of Kilwins. Maybe talk about the Kilwins franchise system and why it's successful now. Why is it different than other types of shops that have ice cream and candy, Steve?
Well, it's kind of a three-legged stool, and I'll get to that just in a little bit. But the business is run with real integrity and honesty. We have fun, and I'll use an example. At Sears, when I was there, no one would come in and say, you know, that their washing machine was working great. The only time they would come in is when something, maybe they had an issue with an item. Well, or to replace an item. At Kilwins, everybody that's coming in there is there for enjoyment and fun. It's really a spectacular experience in one of our stores. But to kind of dig into our stores, our franchise is kind of a standard model that way, and we have a franchise fee of $40,000, a royalty of 5%, a 1% national marketing fund. Our store sizes range between 1,000, which would be just as tight as we could be, up to around 1,500 square feet, with a 1,200 or 1,300 being ideal. We'd like them to be about 15 feet or wider in the front because we want to have a little theater in the store, making the fudge up front, the peanut brittles, caramel corn, dipping the apples, all that kind of stuff. And then we intentionally vent our cooking out to the front of the store. So when we're making the waffle cones or the fudge, it's kind of like Bugs Bunny smelling the carrots and kind of wafting in. It's a pretty nice Cinnabon invented that, I think, but it's a really good strategy.
It is.
And we really want to locate our stores in touristy areas, you know, beaches, boardwalks, maybe a lifestyle center that's really kind of happening, unique or quaint shopping. There are a lot of little downtowns that have, you know, like St. Joe, Michigan is a really great little downtown, and our store just rocks there. So where people will meander about and there's high or heavy pedestrian traffic. So that's kind of what we're looking for there. And, you know, our growth, while we're proud of 82, soon to be 84 stores, we probably could have grown a lot faster, but we're quite selective in our selection process for our franchisees and our locations. We do offer a site selection assistance. We help with lease negotiations and really walk someone right through all the way through their grand opening, offering a complete build-out service, kind of a turnkey, or various slices of that we could do for them. And then, as I think most franchisees do, we really have an extensive training program. So we're pretty proud of the way we run the franchise business and the way we've grown.
Just about everybody has a sweet tooth. I mean, I'm convinced.
Right.
Not, I know Kilwins has a lot of other types of candy and ice cream and chocolate, but I'm convinced chocolate is addictive.
Well,
people just can't have one or two of the pieces, for example.
It's true. We've been Kilwins customers personally for 25 years, and you know, I've taken my children there, and now I'm taking my grandkids there. We've got one just north of us in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. We live in the Chicago area, and we go up there frequently, and it's just a wonderful place. And the uniqueness of the business model is it's not just a chocolate store, which are premium handmade chocolates made right in Petoskey, and it's not just a confectionery or candy store, which is, you know, the fudge and everything we make, and it's not just an ice cream store. So we really have a three-legged stool that would compete with three different competitors, only we've got it all in one. So I think it gives us a little more stability in this type of industry than, say, a single ice cream player or a single chocolate player.
Well, I think having that history since 1947, being able to tell that story to people, they're going to, I'm sure it's in the shops and in the brochures, and be like, wow, I mean, these guys must... I mean, this must be good. They've been around for decades. And I'm sure there's, like you said, my parents have told me about this place. They've been coming here for years. Yeah, let's go. So, you know, part of the successful franchises are, and the franchisee investing in the franchise is having that name that people recognize. I know that's getting better and better for Kilwins all the time with the growth.
It really is, and we're really ramping up our online and our branding, and we're really working hard at that. Now, you know, when you get into Michigan or Florida, we're a very well-known brand. And, you know, North Carolina, we're ramping up there. We're going into New Jersey. But, you know, if we would put our first store in Ohio, which we definitely would like to go there, or start growing more in Wisconsin or more in Illinois, that brand will have to be grown. And it's the quality, it's our customer service level and the quality of the product and the uniqueness of the experience. Our ice cream is, I mean, it's original recipe ice cream that hasn't changed in 30 years. It's ice cream like grandma used to make.
Now Steve, have you put on weight since you've been working at Kilwins?
I hate to say I have. It's just amazing how much chocolate is consumed in that office. And it's unbelievable product. It really is.
You should have a special deal with like the local dentist since you probably have so many people going there. More.
Yeah. Probably should. But
that's great. You're there at an exciting time in really the growth. Yeah. Kilwins. So that's exciting.
Right.
What about technology, Steve? I mean, you know, I'm sure things are a lot different from, you know, when Don and Katie Kilwin started the company. Has technology played a role in your success, or is it? What role does it play in the franchise?
Well, it has. It's kind of it's like a spider web. It touches everything,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it's had a major impact in recruiting franchisees, communication amongst our stores and amongst ourselves. Really, in inventory management and the flow of goods, getting goods on time and the right goods in the right place in the right store, what's selling what, and because different markets sell different product at different times, and you know, logistics, how to get it there. Store management, it's really enabled us to communicate well to our stores. Hey, here's a best practice we just learned.
Right.
We have one of our stores in the Jacksonville, Florida area start a catering business, and she's just rocking with it. So it's like, holy smokes, what a great idea, you know? So store support and the speed that everything takes place, it's really amped up the way we can communicate and the way we can go to market much faster or react to a situation. So technology is networked. It really touches every facet of our business in a very positive way.
That's something. It's amazing the ideas sometimes that come out of the from the franchisee, Steve. You know, we've referenced a lot of great stories, you know, in doing the show 4 years, and I think that's one of them we're going to have to refer back to, huh, Don? It's just
definitely
very clever. I wouldn't think of that, you know. But
no,
catering,
she does birthday parties.
Why not?
Oh, she does
that's
birthday
amazing.
Parties and you know, and events and you know ice cream socials and high school events.
Yeah, it
events.
Makes sense.
Oh, it makes, and she's got this truck that looks like a Kilwin store. It's really cool. So,
That's clever. This industry is huge too, Steve. Are there any numbers on the industry as far as like how big you guys are,
well,
or the kind of industry you're in?
Yeah, when I first came on board, I did a little homework. You know, the ice cream and candy business is a $75 billion business.
Wow.
With the ice cream business alone is $45 billion. And the candy business is almost $30 billion. So it's a monster business. And I've learned something since being here, that the chocolate business is almost counterintuitive to economic trends. When things tighten up, people will treat themselves to a nice chocolate, maybe instead of going out, maybe they go to a little lesser restaurant and treat themselves to a nice ice cream or a nice chocolate.
Would make
sense. Or maybe stay home and go out to Kilwin's rather. So our business, honestly, I can't give you numbers, but it's been terrific.
That makes sense. That would happen. So I guess it's, to a certain extent, it's recession resistant. People are always going to, this is never going to go away. This is something people love.
Right.
And
even when times are tough, they'll treat themselves. I agree with you.
Right.
I don't know that any business can be recession proof. But this business seems to react quite positively, even when times are tough.
Is there any type of specific type of person you're looking for as new investors or getting involved with Kilwin's? Any types of characteristics, Steve, that you need to have? You want people with prior retail experience?
Yes and no is the answer there. You know, kind of after qualifying, make sure we have a round peg and a round hole type of deal. We really look for the right person or couple, you know, it could, or family, you know, it could be a whole family adventure. But bottom line, and this would be, I think, most franchisees would want to aim this way, or franchisors, I should say, friendly. They like people. They have fun. They love delivering customer service. Someone that we feel will represent our brand well because they're really an extension of us. They really do need to be organized. They need to have some energy and some enthusiasm, kind of someone you want to hang around. You know, mm-hmm. that you'd want to have for your neighbor. You know, that type of person is who we're really looking for.
Makes sense. What's the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Steve, since joining the organization? Anything stand out?
Well, I got to work a couple days in the kitchen, actually making candy.
Wow.
And it wasn't quite like the Lucy show where she was on the conveyor belt.
That's what I was just thinking. That's funny you said that. I was just thinking of that.
But it... I didn't cause too much problems in the kitchen. They were actually quite gracious. I did get to actually help make product. I would say help. I didn't really make anything. I got to paddle some fudge. I got to make some caramels. I got to do some of the more simple things they let me do. And I can tell you, even the little twist on the top of the chocolates as it goes through, that's done by hand. It's a phenomenal process, right? And in fact, to help us ramp up for our growth, we're in the process. We're opening it. It's going to happen this coming Monday. We're in the middle of the move. We're expanding our kitchen, and we'll be able to double our production. We're going to have two complete production lines in this new kitchen that we're moving to over this weekend. So we'll be able to, again, position ourselves for growth. We're doubling our production capabilities.
That's fantastic. Wow. Steve, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchipreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Steve Titus from the Kilwins Franchise Opportunity. The Kilwins has been a celebrated part of North Michigan since 1947 and has earned a reputation for its quality products and excellent service. And go ahead, Don, I think you're up.
Steve, maybe talk to us a little bit about the training process for new investors.
It's extensive. It's almost 40 hours of classroom, which is not real exciting, but we have to get them sound on operational details, point of sale, execution, scheduling, payroll, how to manage your business like that. So we really spend quality time. Now, that's intermixed with almost 110 hours of hands-on. And when I say hands-on, that's actually working in the kitchen. It's working in the store. It is, we have a company store that's kind of like a Kilwins University. They're working there, and we actually certify them on candy making. We don't let them go until we know that they can make fudge the way we want it made, or caramel the way we want it made, the apples or the dipped pretzels or whatever the item might be. We're going to make sure that they understand the right tempering of the chocolate, the right way we want to have things made, so our product consistency, as any franchisor would want, the product consistency is the same. When you go to a Kilwins in Petoskey, Michigan, or in Key West, Florida, as far away as you could be, we want that exact same quality in both locations, which we're able to deliver by having such an extensive training process. We also ask you, let's say you do open a Kilwin store, that entire week before your grand opening, we are there on site with you, practicing, rehearsing, setting up, walking through operations, and then we're there the week after with you, the full week, walking through, answering questions, making sure you're okay, and then we're only a phone call or an email away or a regular visit away past that. So we really have a very extensive training process that we walk somebody through. You know, you think you just, you know, everything looks simple until you're starting to do it. Making candy is not a simple process, even though it looks great on the shelf and just looks like it appeared there. But there's a lot of work to get it there.
Good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's a typical day, if there is one, for a franchisee?
Well,
like, what time do they start, and what's the, you know, the day sort of like?
A typical day, every market's a little different, but maybe they open at 9, 10, or 11 o'clock in the morning. They might close at 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the evening, with our typical best hours of the day being 4 till 10 p.m. And some of our stores, like down in Miami, they're open till 2 a.m. We're in a Hard Rock Casino in Seminole, Florida. They're open till 2 a.m. Well, you know, that's, you know, the city comes alive then, or the casino comes alive. And so, our, you know, now they may not open till 2 p.m., you know, at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody, it's all unique and all different, and we just have to be flexible with our franchisees about what are the right hours for you to be open in your market. And it varies wildly by the location and the nuances of that exact marketplace.
That's interesting strategy. That's worked out, the you know, co-branding?
Oh, it really has. Well, with the casino, there are shops surrounding it. So they actually have like a little mini shopping mall scenario. And again, it perfectly describes what we're after. We want people meandering, walking about, a lot of foot traffic. And that does generate that. So whether, again, I guess, you know, we talked about chocolate and how it relates to someone, whether you're happy about what you just did in the casino or sad about what just happened in the casino, chocolate probably is a good answer.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, because either going to reward themselves for winning or, boy, I feel bad. I'm going to get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, and I would have to say, without exception, our owners and or their managers, now some of our owners are not hands-on. We have probably 50-50 or maybe a little more hands-on than a absentee type owner. And I use that word only because that's the way the industry says it. They're certainly not absentee. They're running their business. But either the managers or the owners really have fun every day, and you can see it in their store. You know, we just opened a new store in South Bend, Indiana, right across from the football stadium at Notre Dame. And I've stopped in there three times to try to say hi to the owner. Each time I've had to, like, wave at her across from a sea of customers saying, wow, is this great? See you next time. Sorry we can't talk. Can I pass out samples for you? What can I do? So a typical day varies wildly by location, but it still is delivering product and customer service.
That's great. What advice would you give to our listeners, Steve, as far as their quest to buy a franchise?
Well, do their homework, you know, and obviously it would be great if they settled in on a Kilwin's, but do their homework and figure out what they like to do. You know, if they're not going to enjoy what they're doing, then there's no point doing it. So get in a business that they're going to enjoy, that they think they're going to like, that they've had some experience with. Yes, some retail background would help, some operations background, something like that. But, you know, they might have been in the floor. I guess a floral business may have been a retail scenario. But the bottom line is if they've got the right chemistry or their DNA is right to go into a franchise scenario, then they ought to really consider it because there's real opportunity out there in the franchise world, and it's really the right way to own your own business if that's what what your desires really are. But really do your homework, visit the stores, and get validations from the present owners. You know, I can tell you, here's our program, here's how great it is, but if our owners don't substantiate that, if our franchisees don't back that up or even say, it's, you know, I trust these people, they're good to do business with, they do what they say, they mean what they do, you know, if they go through that and really will endorse a company for you, that's the type of franchise organization you want to join. And so they really want to do their homework before they join in, and then get their financials together, see an attorney, do all their due diligence before they do anything.
Yeah, great advice.
So what are your plans for the future, Thiever? Kilwin's plans for the future? I mean, how big would you guys like to get?
Well, you know, this is a little bit like how high is up for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We you know, if we can have, if we've got 30, soon to be 38 stores here in Florida, why isn't that number 60 or 80?
Right.
You know, and I don't know what that right number really is. But what we're focusing on, again, to make sure we can logistically satisfy our franchisees, I mean, with product, distribution, et cetera, we're really focusing on the eastern half of the United States because we know we can distribute product and get it there in a timely manner. And we have our own delivery trucks that have a three-segmented refrigeration scenario inside the 53-footer. We've got one that is climate-controlled temperature, humidity for ice cream, one for the handmade chocolates, and one for the kind of the sugars and mixes and things like that. So we have a very expensive set of fleet of trucks that we run out of our Florida location and out of Michigan, and we want to make sure we can supply everyone right. So we're really trying to do our growth as intelligently as we can, so we're only focusing on the eastern half of the United States right now. Now, we know we'd love to be going west, but right now we're not able to handle that until we just build another distribution center. So,
well, very good move coming into New Jersey. That was your decision, right, Steve?
Well, it was Kilwin's decision, right? We know that there's real opportunity there, and as we get into, I used to work for Sears in New England, based out of Boston, and the density of population and the touristy, the foot traffic, things like that, as you get into the Northeast, are greater than say in Michigan or Ohio, and as we get into that, we think the opportunity to grow Kilwin's in the Northeast is significant.
Great. Well, yeah, just like I said before, a lot of excitement, no doubt, with you helping and you know, of course, handling development and the history of Kilwin's and all the good things going on. It's a great story. You weren't even able to speak to the franchisee. They were so busy. It's, you know, things are going great, seems like. So we're, you know, very happy for Kilwin's. And like Marty always says, we have to have you on in a few years again, Steve.
Oh, I'd love to. This has been a fun interview. Not knowing what to expect, I was kind of listening in before. It was really kind of fun to listen to. I listened to the blog, what was going on. So I was trying to dial in and figure out what this was, and this has been a fun session for me. So I really have enjoyed it and appreciate it.
You've been a great guest.
Oh,
thanks, Steve.
My pleasure, Steve. Absolutely. What's the best way, Steve, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
www.kilwins.com. And you can tap into that right there.
Great, fantastic. I want to thank you again, Steve. Enjoy your trip down to Florida. And again, Don and I look forward to having you back on the show.
Excellent. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Steve.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. Great story. Steve doing a great job. Looks like the franchisees are doing well. They got a lot of growth plans. Exciting, like I said earlier.
Yeah, I love this story. You know, it's just telling, you know, about the, you know, trying to visit the franchisee and the franchisee's busy. You know, I mean, it's just that's wonderful. You know, to hear something like that. You know, it's just terrific.
Right.
So, yeah, great industry, pretty big industry too, huh? I mean,
yeah, I'm surprised by that number. Yeah,
that's all good at ice cream. Oh my God, I didn't realize it was that huge. So that's fantastic. So good job, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net. GoFranchise.com and the new FranchiseWorldRadio.com. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Take care, Marty.
Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.